regular students Joy and Deborah. This is a special Joe Moonday Nidra, and we have a lot of the API students. So I'm taking the opportunity to spend 30 minutes talking about the practice of Yoga Nidra, which is a practice that I've been, it came to me, and I've been actively doing it for about 12 years. It helped me transform an internal chaos that I didn't think was ever going to be transformable. So it's a practice that I really value and I really believe in for its ability as a tool to navigate the mind and the emotions. So this is beyond asana, so if we're moving up along the limbs, so the asana is the moving of this energy, and then shavasana, the final pose. Once shavasana comes, for me it's the beginning of a whole other practice that could last hours. So we'll do a little bit of that kind of playtime today. And in the same way that asana can be challenging, so can the navigation of the mind and the emotions, and then eventually the spiritual realm as well. So it is a practice that faces you with whatever it is that is inside of you. So either from this experience or passed down your family line or your cultural setup or any of the programming that is inside starts to unveil itself layer by layer. So Yoga Nidra translates as yogic sleep. And you do have the possibility of falling asleep, but the idea is to sharpen the mind, to sharpen the focus, so that you can be present in the moment from a state that is beyond your thoughts, beyond your emotions, beyond your physical sensations, from a state where you are observing all of that. So falling asleep throughout practice happens. If you're new, if you're tired, and there's no judgment around falling asleep, if you need to rest, please rest, especially in this day and age where we don't have many opportunities for rest anymore because there's so much activity around us, but also there's so much internal expectation that we feel like rest is a bad thing. So, but the beauty of this practice, though, is that when you are able to rest in the state of the observer, and then even beyond that state of an observer, because beyond the observation, then there are other layers where you tap into, you know, yourself as a spiritual being, you tap into yourself as divine love essence, right? So when you're able to rest in that state, that's a conscious rest, that's a whole other kind of relaxation, and it's a whole other kind of rejuvenation that happens. So I encourage you to maybe consider that falling asleep is part of it, but also consider that falling asleep could be an escapist mechanism. So instead of just allowing yourself to disconnect when it gets a little bit difficult in the mind or in the emotions, maybe that's the opportunity to really take up that level, take it up to the next level of consciousness and be like, okay, well, I see that I'm trying to escape by disconnecting, so I'm actually going to focus my mind even more on what's happening in this moment. Does that make sense? We will have an hour of practice, so it will start to make sense, and then an hour of practice turns into the rest of your lifetime practice, of course. So may I say what you were talking about before? So Gabby asked a question. You know, she's going through some stuff, and she's like, well, what if I cry, or what if some emotions come up, or what do I do in that situation? And my response is, first of all, what's coming through in the moment. So the beauty of being in a laying down position is that there is no physical action that's taking you away from what's going on in your mind or in your emotions. So this is the practice of facing your mind and your emotions. And if what you're feeling is sadness, often what we do is try to repress that. So let's say that this is the sadness you're feeling, and you're like, oh, well, I'm at work. And then, oh, well, the kids, oh, well, I'm going to travel, oh, well, and that sadness just stays there, right? So if it's there, it's not going to go away. So maybe during this hour, it could be that sadness or that anger or that bliss feeling that's also there, because all of it is inside. When they say that the entire universe is inside of you, it really is there. In the different layers of consciousness, so in this, we can use the chakra system as a guide, where vibrationally the densest energy is at the root, and then you start raising your consciousness and the energy starts becoming lighter and faster moving in frequency, right? So this is a practice where we tap into the vibration. So what are some things that could happen? You might feel during practice, you're laying still, but you might feel movement inside. This is the energy flow you're connecting back to your vibration, right? And when it comes to vibration, I think it's also important to consider that you are each your own vibration. You are each your own note. So if we are a symphony here, then you and you and you and you and you and you are an important part of the symphony, but not because you are meant to be like you. Because you are here to be you, and you are here to be you, and you are here to be you. And when you tap into that space of calm, when you tap into that space where you are at your natural state of being, that's when everything starts flowing. That's when everything starts becoming, actually in the external world, a peaceful reflection of the internal world you create. But if your internal world is in chaos, which a lot of us have had that experience at some point, and then we think, oh, okay, well, oh, now I resolved that one. Whew, after 12 years of practice, I resolved that chaos, and then something happens, you're like, oh, wait a minute, that chaos can come back at any point. So it's a practice where it's a daily check-in. It's a daily reset of your energetic vibration so that you don't go too far from your essential being. So whatever you discover today, maybe, how many of you are practicing Nidra for the first time today? Okay, so it might be a practice where you feel a whole bunch of things, and it might be a practice where you feel nothing. And that's completely normal. And there's no expectation around what you're supposed to feel today or during any practice. So let's talk about the idea of the present moment, which I think is really important also because it gets thrown around a lot in the yoga world. It's like, oh, the present moment. Oh, enjoy the present moment. Oh, enjoy the present moment. Yes, this is true. It is about the present moment. You create your reality in this moment. And in addition to that, if there's stuff from your past that's there and hasn't been resolved, your present moment is affected by this. So until you face this with courage, until you face this with love, and until you face this with everything that you have within you, with integrity, with authenticity, with a realness, because this emotion is also like, oh, this person did this to me, you were 50% of that interaction. Whatever that interaction was, there's always the idea of self-responsibility. Even if it's worst case scenarios where things happen, because things do happen that are unfair. The reality is this emotion is inside of you, so it's now for you to deal with. And until you deal with it, it's not going to go away. So the present moment is affected by the past, and the present moment also affects the future, whatever that means in time. You know, we then, in this practice, we lose time. Sometimes it's like, I'm just going to breathe and see what happens. And then 7 hours later, I'm like, oh, that was a good practice. And this is where time just kind of goes away. And I'm not joking. You get into this state and stuff starts coming up, and then you start feeling this lift, like, oh, I've been carrying all of this stuff inside for so long, and this lift, nothing is more important. It's like, I was going to go out tonight, no, I'm just going to keep breathing and observing this thing right here and see what I can lift from this part of my body, or see, like, oh, I've got a little, right? So you start playing internally where it's like, oh, I've had this knot here for a while. Instead of going out to dinner and maybe adding food to this knot, let me just breathe through this knot and see what's going on. My heart, my shoulders are so tight. Instead of just going whatever, let me work on this. But not just through the physical, but through, oh, what emotional situation am I carrying inside of here? What thought process is connected to making my body react in this way? And then what can I do with my breath, which is the most powerful tool that you have? Your breath is what keeps you alive in this plane. So your breath serves as a purification of your internal system, and it's also your life. So it's also layers and layers of consciousness that come through your breath. So use your breath, focus it, and also pay attention to what's going on with that emotional thing that knocks on the door as you breathe. It's like, okay, well, open the door this time and see what it is that it has to tell you, because it grows and grows and grows when it's hidden away in the darkness. If you open the door, it might be like that monster when you're a kid. You're so terrified of this monster. Then you open the door and you're like, oh, okay, that's not so bad. I can face this, right? This isn't so big. So another thing to consider size-wise, density-wise, we're talking about vibration and energy, is when you start discovering what's going on internally, if there are blockages in your energetic system, it's good to also consider things like size and density and color. You know, start using your mind's eye. Start using that kind of awareness where you're able to actually see, okay, well, this is a little knot here, and this is a little thing here, and this is a little thing here, but this one's pretty dense, you know. I need to send a lot more breath. I need to spend a lot more attention dissolving this dense part. Or this is not so bad. All I can do is like redirect this with my breath. Is this making sense, or am I going way out there? It's making sense, right? So think of that as well, because your breath is a tool to help you dissolve internally, dissolve things, move them through so that it's no longer stuck in your system. So the reason I wanted you to circle is because I'm going to lay down there. Check time. I'm going to lay down there, and I just want to show you the full belly breath, which I'm sure that you've seen, but there's the full belly breath, which is an instant kind of calming breath, and then there's the Ujjayi breath, which you could also use throughout the practice, which is the breath that is, you find your own rhythm for it, in and out your nose. Of course, we know the Ujjayi breath, but we often associate it with moving asana. But the Ujjayi breath is really good when you're laying down and you're using it to move, to literally move the energy along your spine when you're in stillness. So I'm going to start with the full belly breath. And I'll just use the bolster as we'll use it during practice. And the reason for the bolster is so that this very sensitive part of your lower back can become flat. So when you raise your hips, it automatically flattens out your sacrum and levels out your pelvis. So that takes care of your lower back. Okay, so I'll start with my hands here too, because it will just show you kind of the lift. So hold on, let me find it. So your breath starts from here, about here, and then it goes energetically, goes down and then up the back of your spine, so up the Sushumna channel. And then there's also the nadis, the Ida and the Pingala, which go up like this and then also connect up along your spine. So you want to take your breath, even as you inhale through your nose, you want to move it from here up along your spine. So nervousness is not really good for free flowing breath, so clear enough? Sorry, I just kind of popped up. Was that visible? So the hold is an important part of the breath, and that's where it starts to soothe on the inside. The hold at the top of the inhale and also at the bottom of the exhale. So that's something that you can play with throughout the practice, where your body will let you know where it needs the breath. You'll feel in different parts of your body, and maybe throughout a 1 hour practice, you will only breathe into that one particular part of your body. That's the part that needs the nourishing, right? So this throughout this practice, self-discernment is really an important aspect, where you trust that you know what you need. There's a certain sense of trust that comes in, where yes, there's a guide, I'll be saying things, maybe some things that I say will resonate with you, I'll be guiding you through parts of your body, but in reality, you know what it is that you need, and your breath will know where it needs to flow. So there's no question about your breath, really. Yes?
Even if it's the first time, you know you can resonate with the feel that you know where to breathe? Because so also you should probably kind of like going on your words and...
Even if it's the first time, your breath will go where it needs to go.
Okay.
I think that as you practice more, you'll have that kind of mental awareness that's more prevalent, but your breath isn't wrong. Let's just say that. Your breath isn't wrong. So there's no wrong way to be doing it, really. It's more about making yourself feel good in that moment and recognizing that you're safe in every moment, recognizing that it is a moment by moment thing, and also recognizing that when it comes to just the idea of energy and vibration, there's a constant flow. There is no permanence. So if a difficult thought or emotion comes through and it seems to hijack that moment, it's then shifting into the awareness where it's like, okay, this is coming through me. This is theme of forgiveness and be like, okay, I'm going to focus on forgiveness today and then see what comes up in the form of forgiveness for your life.
Can I say something really quick for forgiveness? If you're going to do forgiveness, like for anyone, you imagine the person in front of you and then you like say everything you want to say to them.
Cause, you can do that, yeah.
Because it's like everything that you're keeping in, everything you want to say to a person, you're keeping it inside of you. So if you imagine the person in front of you and you say everything to them, you're forgiving them and you're letting that go from your energetic field. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted to say that because forgiveness is really important. And for me, like when I've forgiven people, it's completely shifted my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We spend a lot of energy being angry or resentful or just not processing that. Blaming. Blame is a whole other big thing that's in there. And part of this, as I said, is the authenticity, being real with yourself. Where are you in blame? Where are you in a lack of forgiveness and in holding on to this resentment and in all of this? Because that's what's actually blocking you from your own ability to feel the love that's inside of you. But that's not to take away from the fact that some things are difficult to process. Some things are not necessarily fair or don't seem fair. Some people do hurt other people, and it doesn't mean that we just have to be like, oh, that's fine because I'm going to choose the love in me. It's like you take care of yourself. If there are people that you need to move away from in your life, you do that, but you also know that the forgiveness is a feeling that you create within yourself. So it's more about forgiving for your sense of calm than for being like, oh, what you did was okay and was acceptable. Because sometimes not. But then also sometimes we fail to realize that we've done things to others that we may have not necessarily been aware of at the time that also were hurtful. So this is where we recognize our humanity, where it's also about what we can do to make our inner world better and our outer world better. And by better, I mean more in alignment with divine love energy. So throughout the practice, we'll start with the breath, set an intention. Many of you speak another language as a mother tongue, right? So once you set the intention, set the intention in your mother tongue, and when you repeat it inside of yourself, repeat it in your mother tongue. Language is really important. I could talk about language for a long time, so it won't be today. Then we'll do a detailed body scan. So this is another focal point. You have your breath as a focal point. You have your intention as a focal point. And this is to keep your mind present in the moment, right? And then when we do the body scan, you'll also shift your awareness to the points of your body when I mention them. Then just be open to what happens. Be open to what happens. Another thing, I'll ask you to do it, but I'll tell you here so you can remember it like in full consciousness. Create a zone for yourself. Imagine this expanded zone around you where you create safety. And here you can call in, you know, yoga is beyond belief systems of religion, right? So you call in whoever you call in from the spirit world. You call in from your, you know, family line, ancestors, guides, anyone, for your own guidance and protection as well, and listen to that. Things that could happen during practice. We talked about vibration.